Welcome to the Self-Explained podcast. My name is Katie O'Donoghue. I am your host and relationship coach who is here to guide you into rewiring your patterns so that you can rewire your relationships and life. So before I dive into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that I have created a free 27-page guide on anxiety. So in it, you will learn what anxiety is and how to spot the signs and symptoms. You'll learn tools and tips to help you identify how your anxiety shows up, ways to break it down, and self-care practices to keep yourself calm when it's running wild. And for you to truly transform your relationship with anxiety, I've also included some journaling prompts that I've used to transform my own relationship with anxiety and a list of my go-to resources on emotional health. So I'll leave the link to this free download in the show notes below, but you can also access it under the free resources section on my website, katieodonoghue.com. So for today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the abandonment wound, because it's something that's incredibly important to understand and to resolve if you want to feel good in relationship with yourself, but also in relationship with another person, specifically a romantic relationship, which is what I'm going to be referring to for a lot of this episode. But before I do dive into this, I want to put in a little bit of a disclaimer. So first of all, I'm by a very busy road and I'm recording during peak time, so rush hour. So I want to apologize in advance if there is any disruptions, because I'm just going to continue and roll with it, and we're just going to, get my partner to do all the magic work to reduce any background noise if it happens at any stage. But I also want to put in a little bit of a trigger warning. So if you've never really done an inward journey or explored your abandonment wound or earlier experiences, I'm going to be doing a bit of that today. And when I do this, it is likely that you're going to feel emotionally challenged, perhaps. So what I mean by that is that it might bring up something for you. And if at any stage you feel overwhelmed or like it's too much to please hit the pause button, take a bit of a breather, take a bit of a time out, and practice some self-care to help you get a bit grounded in the now, because we're going to be talking a lot about past experiences, and that can obviously create some feelings within, which can create a lot of thought processes as well. So self-care, maybe it's a grounding technique. You go outside and you use your five senses to really help you be here, be present. Maybe it's journaling. You want to just do a bit of a brain dump, get everything out on paper, you know, take a breather from that, go listen to some feel-good music or spend time with a friend or a furry animal. Something to shift your emotional state is basically what I'm getting at here. If you feel in any way emotionally challenged through this episode. So yeah, let's dive in. But what I want to say, I'm going to be talking about childhood experiences. And the only reason I'm doing that for the episode is because everything kind of manifests from childhood. The past informs your present. And it's good to have those connection points. Those connection points can be really healing. But when you think about your earlier years, whether you realize it or not, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already on your personal development journey or self-healing journey, so it's likely you know this already. But your primary caregivers, so whether that was mom or dad or grandparents or other significant people that raised you, really do have a lot of influence over you, and they really do shape you. So they shape how you relate to yourself and how you relate to other people in adulthood, especially your romantic partners. That's where you're going to see a lot of the patterns show up. So when you're a child, you form a mental representation, so like this inner working model of how to relate to another person in a relationship. And this is done with your primary caregivers, like I say. So whether you had mom and dad, mom and her partner, or dad and his partner, or grandparents, or foster parents, like whoever it was that raised you, they basically have set the tone for how you will relate to your romantic partners in adulthood. And everyone else in adulthood too, but for this episode, romantic partners is where we're going to be focusing on. But when you hear people, you know, kind of joke and say, oh, they've got mommy issues or they've got daddy issues, they need to sort that out. Like, that's a real thing. That is your attachment style. And they're talking about this person relating to the person they're dating or in a relationship with in the exact same ways that they did to mom or dad when they were a child. So maybe become curious after this episode about what you're witnessing at home between your relationships and what that is doing for you and your relationships now as an adult. But when you think about earlier experiences, so it's primarily the ages of 0 to 7 when you are highly impressionable, so kind of like a sponge. You're looking at the world, looking at the people around you, and you're taking in all of this information. Like everything goes in, and you believe everything that's said to you and done to you, so it's absolute truth. And like I say, this is like a little blueprint, like a map of how you show up in the world. The behaviors that you're going to accept from other people, the behaviors you're going to reject from other people, and the same for yourself too. What you accept in yourself and what you reject in yourself to survive. Now, as a child as well, you are helpless and dependent on your caregivers for survival. So you look to mom or to dad or to both or to whoever it was that raised you to take care of your needs, to comfort you when you feel sad, hurt, angry, fearful, to teach you how to self-soothe in those moments as well, how to manage your emotions, how to set a healthy boundary, how to understand boundaries, to, you know, explore the world. And ultimately, they help you to develop your sense of self. And a lot of the time, because of this dependency on them, which is a healthy dependency for a lot of the time until you reach a certain age at which you're encouraged to be autonomous and to kind of separate and have your own life and way of being. But your biggest fear when you're dependent is, oh my goodness, you know, are they going to leave me? Am I going to be alone? Am I going to be rejected? Am I going to be abandoned? Like, what's going to happen if this does happen? Like, it's huge for a child. And so it's like this life or death experience when you have those fears. Now, the other side of this as well is, you know, as a child, you're in an egocentric state of being. So a lot of adults are still in the state of being more so than others, because you naturally will slip in and out of this as you grow up. But for someone who isn't as psychologically developed, they will be more so in this egocentric state than other people. And what it means is basically that you believe the world revolves around you. And because of this, you think that everything happens because of you, right? So you think that, like, let's just say if mom had a bad day, you believe it must be because of something you've done. If granny passed away, like, what did you do to granny the day before? Was it because of you? Then yeah, you'll probably say, yes, it was because of you, because you're in that way of thinking, of being. So these kind of two dynamics, you know, the egocentric way of being and the dependency on other people for survival, basically means that you're going to be on the lookout for any form of abandonment. And that you think if people are going to be leaving you or rejecting you, that it must be something you've done. you don't see the other side of this. You can't see other people's perspectives because of your development. It's not there yet. You don't have that self-awareness as to how the world is working or as to what other factors could be at play that are influencing the behavior of another person. So just to give you a few examples of how this goes and what might have been a form of abandonment for you is going to be different for me. So it's a subjective experience, but I put a trigger warning in. So my examples might make you have that kind of like, oh gosh moment, or, you know, this is me, or maybe it won't be. I'll give you some other examples as well, but just lean into that kind of aha moment or a trigger, because that's often where your lessons are, where the wisdom is, where the healing is. So an example of abandonment could have been, and this one wasn't my example, but maybe it was yours. So mom and dad not showing up to a school concert. You know, maybe you thought that you weren't important enough or lovable enough, and so they didn't show up, and that was a bit of abandonment for you. For me, it was crying in a cot. I think it was about 3 or 4 years of age. There was thunder and lightning. It was a very dark room. And I was crying and I felt really scared and no one came. Not for a while anyway. And so I felt, you know, unsafe. I felt like life was coming in on top of me. It was kind of that suffocating feeling, incredibly overwhelming at such a young age. You know, maybe it was for you, and I'm kind of mixing these in. I know I said I'd do them separately, but they're they're being mixed in now. Maybe it was you were at home and you really wanted connection with mom or dad, but you know, they were working all the time. They weren't really there for you. And so you felt like that abandonment when they weren't around. The other way it might have showed up for you is, you know, maybe you got lost in a shopping center. Maybe you were left in a car while mom and dad went into shop. And so that's how you perceived abandonment. Maybe it was, you know, if you view it through a lens of a loss of love or connection, connection being, you know, maybe safety or security, love, approval, affection. There's a whole list of things that come under connection. But if you had caregivers who were abusive towards you, so sexually, physically, emotionally, this can create a sense of abandonment too. Also, if you were neglected, so if you had maybe dismissive caregivers who were unwilling to meet your needs or to, you know, be attuned to what you wanted because of their own issues that were unresolved. So maybe they had mental health problems or a substance issue. So whether it was an alcohol disorder or some form of an addiction, or maybe they were in an abusive marriage. And so they were very much preoccupied with their own pain that they weren't aware of when you needed something or needed support. Maybe it was, you know, getting the message from a caregiver that you were a brat, or maybe you had an experience where you were in a shopping center or a cafe and, you know, your mom or your dad jokingly went to the barista or the retail assistant, you know, do you want my kids? And that was what was triggering for you, that kind of message of, oh, they don't want me. I'm not loved. I'm not good enough. They're offering me to this strange person. And that's your abandonment. Maybe it was, you know, not being collected in school, you know, being forgotten. You're waiting and waiting and waiting, and suddenly there's no show. And you see the teacher ringing mom and dad, and you don't know what the conversation is, but you start thinking, I'm forgotten about. I'm not loved. Maybe it's also, you know, being a good little child. You know, maybe that is how it shows up for you. So having like expectations placed upon you where you felt like you couldn't actually express a certain side of yourself, or, you know, an emotion And so you felt abandoned in that way, that you couldn't be your real self. And so this is how the wound was showing up for you. Maybe it was also, you know, having to be super self-sufficient because you didn't have caregivers around. So again, other life factors were at play, but in your mind, when they weren't there for you, again, you might have felt like it was because you weren't worthy of being cared for. Maybe it was you had a younger sibling or an older sibling and there was more attention or connection or love given to them. And in your mind, you made sense of this by thinking that mom and dad preferred them. And so you felt a little bit abandoned in that way. I think I've given enough examples. I hope they've resonated, but this isn't parent blame or shame. This is just stating real life experiences that I have pulled from, you know, my own experiences, from books that I've read, from work that I've done or research that are quite common experiences for a lot of people. But, you know, like I say, there's no such thing as a perfect world or perfect parents or a perfect child. So everyone is a human, which means that there are going to be wounds created, and a lot of the time unintentionally, right? Because as an adult, you're not going to think, oh, how is this impacting my child? What are they thinking? You know, it's just going to be how life is unfolding. And this is why I say it's not about blaming or shaming our parents. So please don't take that message away from this episode. Explore the relationships, explore your pain and take responsibility for your pain, because that's on you to heal now. It's not for anyone else to heal. But, you know, you'll interpret any of those examples, you know, as a child. So whatever example we go on, you'll interpret what has happened, like I say, as your fault. Because of you, this has happened. So if you were abused or if you were left in a shopping center at a young age, you'll think, you know, I am bad. I must not be a good child. I must be unlovable. Mom and dad aren't here to take care of me because of me, you know, because of who I am. Right? So think about how that might affect you. Like, that's quite painful for a child to be thinking that way, to be having that experience. You're not going to be thinking mom and dad are caught up in traffic and so they're a little bit delayed, but it doesn't mean that they don't love me or that I'm not a good enough child. Or you won't be thinking that, like, mom and dad need to go to therapy to sort out their own pain because, you know, they've got their own trauma. They need to develop parenting skills or their own self-soothing techniques so they can then pass those techniques on to me. You're not going to have that awareness at such a young age. You'll likely think, what do I need to do so they won't abandon me, so this won't happen again? And this is how your survival mechanism is developed. So it's developed through what you perceived as trauma at the time. So on that note, I want to give you a journaling question. So grab a journal and pen or a paper and pen or slide open your phone if it's safe to do so. The question I want to give you is something that I'm just taking from my own journal. But the question is, what traumatic or painful experiences have you been through where you felt like you were going to be left, or where you felt like you were going to be forgotten about, or where you felt like you were going to be abandoned, or where you felt like you were going to go through some sort of a love loss or connection loss? So abandonment is really a loss of connection or a loss of love at the core. It's a painful experience for you as a child. Looking back as an adult, you might think, that didn't affect me. Like, no way. Like, that was a small event. But, right, for a small child in that situation, that is huge, right? That is really scary, really frightening, especially when you're looking to the adults around you to take care of you, to protect you, to nurture you, to guide you. Any kind of a clue or insight as to, are they going to abandon you? Are they going to reject you? Is going to be triggering. It's going to start activating that kind of, like, I'm not safe. I'm not okay. And maybe it will show up as, you know, anxiety or fear around someone not connecting with you, around someone not loving you, around someone leaving you, around someone not coming back to get you, right? So think about your experiences and how this shows up, because I can only say so much. You really got to have that drive to take a look at your past experiences and ask, you know, where is my abandonment wound? When did I have this fear that, you know, I wasn't lovable or I wasn't good enough? You know, what was going on at the time? Is there a connection loss? Is there a love loss? Is there a fear that people aren't going to be there for me, that they're not going to connect with me, that they're not going to come back? Think about those kind of maybe micro events even rather than massive events. I know mine were largely based, as I grew up, more kind of capital T trauma events, but it can be, you know, just built up micro events that affected you. It could be divorced parents. It could be a disorder, an alcohol disorder of some sort. It could be not being collected from school. It could be having your birthday forgotten. Like, those kind of events, they do actually matter to you at such a young age. And normalizing this, if you're listening to the podcast and thinking, oh my goodness, is there something wrong with me now because I've got so many examples, like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just you need to consider healing this wound or exploring it to understand yourself. And I'll be honest, you know, my abandonment wound, it created absolute chaos in my life. Like, to this day, it does sometimes rear its head, but I understand what it feels like and the messages that it's trying to teach me. And so it's just kind of about managing your emotional state so you don't really become stuck or stunted in your growth or development. So that's kind of like your reparenting process, like helping yourself to self-soothe in those moments that you're maybe triggered or something familiar has come up that's reminded you of an event in the past. So what I want to do is give you another bit of a journaling question. So if you have your journal and pen nearby, but when you were a child, you would have learned how to survive through this pain, how to maybe adapt or adjust yourself to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So think about your responses to gain love, to gain connection, whether that's approval or affection or attention, for example. Think about what you did or how you might have changed parts of yourself, who you had to become maybe to prevent someone from leaving you, to prevent someone from abandoning you or rejecting you. Think about what your responses were to that kind of situation and how they show up in your life today, maybe. You know, where do you see that pattern showing up? Now, I'll draw from my experiences again, and I'll give you a few other experiences. I'll try maybe, I'll try not to mix them up this time. But when you think about survival roles, so what I will say is one of my key moments of abandonment was when my parents divorced at the age of 12. And my dad moved out with my older sister, and it was me and my two other siblings and my mom in the house. And I became this caretaker, you know, because my environment, this was what I, you know, learned how to survive, to step into that role. Because if I was a caretaker, that was how I could connect with my mom. And it was kind of like me being a substitute spouse sometimes, or being her parent, you know, trying to manage her emotions, because in my mind, if I could take care of mom, then I would be okay. Then I wouldn't be abandoned by her if I could be of use to her, if I could take care of her needs. Now, I also became a people pleaser, and there's a lot of people pleasers in the world. But in my mind, again, you know, this is like deeply ingrained within me, and it's a huge pattern that I have to keep an eye on. But in my mind, I thought if I could keep other people happy, then they wouldn't leave me. And then I'd survive because I wouldn't be alone. So my fear was, you know, being alone and not being able to survive. So how could I ensure that people wouldn't leave me? And it's like, okay, I'm going to keep them happy. So what does their happiness look like? What do I need to do to ensure that they're happy and they're not going to be angry or upset or frustrated with me? Because if they are, they might leave me. And that was the way I was thinking. And I saw it manifest all the way up into my adulthood as well. And I'll talk about that in a second. But one of my other survival kind of mechanisms or strategies was to be a really good child, to be what others wanted me to be. Because if I was good, if I was compliant, if I was agreeable, if I never made any mistakes, if I just did as I was told, then people would love me, people would accept me. And if they loved and accepted me, then they wouldn't leave me, right? So that's how I made sense of the world. You know, part of this was like, how can I be needed by other people, which is codependency? Because if other people need me, again, they're not going to abandon me. And part of that meant not taking care of my needs, but focusing on other people's needs to ensure that this abandonment fear was not going to come true. Now, you might be different to me, right? Because unless you see parts of yourself in me, it's likely that maybe none of this resonates with you. So just so you have a few examples, you might try and prevent abandonment from other people by acting out or misbehaving, because if you do that, it means that someone's going to focus on you and give you attention, give you connection, maybe give you love or whatever it is that you need. If you misbehave and they're focusing on you, it means that you're not going to get abandonment from them. They're not going to leave you because they're going to have to be there to like manage you. So being bad and getting attention maybe in your eyes is better than being alone where you're not getting attention from anyone, because that's how you may not survive. The other side of this is, and I think I mentioned this in earlier examples, maybe you didn't, but maybe if you had a lot of siblings, you might have used a little bit of triangulation. So driving a wedge between you and a sibling so that you would get more attention from a primary caregiver, because if you got more attention, then you wouldn't be abandoned. So maybe it was your siblings were kind of like a little bit of a threat to you, because if attention was given to them, then you were going to be left on your own. Another example might be, is maybe being a peacekeeper. So trying to make sure everything's going smoothly, because if everything goes smoothly and everyone's happy, so kind of similar to the caretaker, then people aren't going to leave you, right? So if you can be that kind of mediator and make sure that everyone around you is like happy out, then things are going to be fine. You're going to be able to survive. Maybe it's the other side of this could be, you know, being overly like compensating to others as well. So doing whatever it is that needs to be done, maybe taking on more responsibilities, a little bit of caretaking here again. But in this way, you're able to kind of control your environment. And if you're in control, it means that you can ensure abandonment doesn't happen to you again. So your ways of relating in childhood, so the way that you learn to survive your environment, is going to be very similar today unless you started doing your inner work and becoming aware of these patterns and trying to shift them so that you're not showing up in a way that is actually quite dysfunctional, maybe, or it makes you feel a little bit like off on the inside, depleted, exhausted, just like not yourself. But, you know, going a little bit deeper again, I guess, on this in terms of how the patterns manifest. So the good child might be the perfect partner. And that's what it was for me. The good child might be the perfect colleague or the good colleague. The caretaker for me meant that I became the mother of my friendship groups, mothers to my partners as well. They were my kind of pattern manifestation. So maybe take a look at what your survival roles were in childhood and notice where they show up today in adulthood. And are they doing more harm than good for you right now? And if the answer is they are harming you and harming your relationship, they're not helping you to feel good, then consider maybe getting some support or getting a bit curious on how to change your patterns through some sort of book. I'm not going to suggest any because there's so many out there, but really think about whether they're helping or harming you, these survival strategies. And once you start painting out this picture, it's going to be, it can be a mix of emotions. It can be quite confronting, but also really healing as well to know, ah, okay, this is why I do this. This is where I learned to do this. But do I need to still do this now as an adult? Or is there, you know, a better way of showing up that's going to help me to feel good and also be loving to myself and empowering to me and also empowering and loving to other people too? So think about that for a second. You know, what are your survival strategies? What are your experiences of abandonment? What are your responses? You know, how do you try and avoid this fear? If you don't resolve this wound or, you know, get to understand it and how it shows up for you, it can cause insecurity issues in your relationships. It can cause codependency. It can maybe be a reason why you cheat on people or have infidelities. It can be the reason that you feel like you're not being yourself, so a loss of identity. It can be the reason that you get into a relationship too quickly, or a reason why you stay in a relationship way beyond its, like, I don't want to say sell by date, but way beyond the date that it should have ended. It can be a reason for, you know, not feeling good enough, not loving yourself, people pleasing or approval seeking behaviors, always searching for external validation. Like, all of these can kind of connect into this wound. And your wound isn't going to heal itself. So you're going to keep carrying it forward and it's going to float under the surface basically until you decide to, you know, really understand yourself and take responsibility for your pain and your trauma and, you know, how you are in the world. But I'm going to leave it there for today because I'm looking at the screen and it's like 32 minutes. I'm really trying to keep these short, but I think the last two episodes are about the same, but I'm going to wrap this up now. The next episode is going to build on this one again. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast or to the YouTube channel, wherever you're watching it. Drop a like, a star, a review. I'd be very, very grateful if you could do that for me. And other than that, I'm going to say thanks for listening. I hope it's been beneficial to you, and I will catch you on the next episode.